Well, good morning to all of you. It's good to have been here so far. The singing has been pretty amazing with all of your voices blending together. And welcome to all of you. We've been, I've been preaching through a series of Hearing God has been interesting for me, for myself, in hearing God. And I've mentioned it before that speaking about it and teaching it is one thing, and giving instruction about doing it is one thing, but living it is another. But sometimes it's hard to know if you're hearing God. And one of the things that was that I mentioned at the beginning was that God speaks to us and that He speaks all the time. It's just that we have a problem of hearing it. And the reason He speaks is not because of our greatness, but it's because of His greatness. We want to continue that today. I don't know if I'll get through everything that I want to talk about, but when I hear God say stop, then we will, if I can hear correctly from God. So today, I want to go over the just a little bit here. The first one that I spoke about was hearing God in meditation, when we take scripture and we sit down and we read, and then we take our pen and pencil and we write down, paper and pencil, and write down what we felt like we heard from God in our quiet time. The next time, the one we talked about is hearing God for others. And today I combined two different ones and made it. The title is Hearing God in Conversations, Detours, and Silences. And then one more that I want to share with as an ending to all of this, Hearing God for Guidance. And so, in conversations with God, and in conversations that we have with each other, there's a good and great potential for us to hear God. And it seems like, to me anyway, in the experiences that I've had, it's almost the easiest one to hear God is in conversation with Him and with you, with other people that we meet in business perhaps, and in conversations we have at the gas pump or whatever, or at Walmart or wherever it may be. Hearing God in detours is not so easy because they're aggravating. And hearing God when He's silent can be frustrating. But first of all, we want to talk about hearing God in conversations. And I want to tell you that it's not just that you have to be in tune when you're talking to a brother in Christ or a sister in Christ or a family that goes to church here or with God, but there is times, I literally know this, that there's times when God speaks to you, speaks to me when you're talking about business or life with people who don't have any idea that God is, that you're hearing something from God and something that they may say. And I'll share a little bit later what I mean more in that. Oswald Chambers says this: get into the habit of saying, "Speak, Lord, and life will become a romance." There's something in us that likes romance. And when it is with the Creator, it's quite amazing. When you have a conversation with the God of Israel, the God of Martinsburg, the God of Spencer and Israel, and God of Laverne, He created all of us. He created what we see in nature. And when you have this conversation with Him, Oswald Chambers is saying, "Speak, Lord." And when He does, life becomes a romance. That is so beautiful. Why do conversations happen in the first place? What makes them happen? Isn't it because we're curious? Always stay curious. It's even in the fact when we walk up to each other after church or before church and we say, "How are you?" It's because we're curious. "How are you today, Irvin? Are you having a good day?" It's because we're curious about you. And when we have the same curiosity with the Father, with God, with Jesus, and we enter into this conversation, there's things that He reveals about Himself to us. It's the same when we talk to each other here. It happens in the spiritual. Conversations happen because we're curious. In the book of Acts, there's a couple scriptures that I want to read. There's a lot I want to say. And I write on my notes, slow down. I write in my notes here, no rush. Because I get so excited about hearing God, hearing from God. In Acts 10, it's the story about Peter. When he had that vision, when he was hungry, and he went up on the rooftop, and he fell into a trance, I think is what the King James Version says. And when he had this vision, it was this sheet that came down from heaven, and there was all kinds of animals in there and creatures, and God told him in this conversation that he was having, he said, eat. And Peter said, there's no way that I'm going to eat. I've never eaten anything that's unclean. So they're having this conversation. Verse 17, I want to read that. 17, 18, and 19. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate. And he called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. So here he is. He is curious as to what this vision was about and the conversation that he had with him. And so he begins to process it. And even in verse 19, he was still pondering it when the Spirit spoke to him and said that there's three men that are looking for you. Now, there's times when all conversations at some point stop. And why do they stop? We know why they begin. It's because we're curious. And so at some point they stop. When there's nothing more to discover, the conversation stops. When me and Phil talk about, because now it's the basketball championship is going on, and we talk about the teams, and we're curious, I want to see how he feels about how the refs did this and how they did that and how this guy played and how he didn't play and how he could play and all those things. But once those things are kind of talked about, the curiosity is gone and we stop. The conversation is over. That's why conversations stop. But I want to just say there's so many things to learn about God, the kingdom of heaven, the journey of each of ours, that the curiosity should never stop. The curiosity should keep us asking questions and having conversations. Okay, now Peter goes to Jerusalem in the next chapter, and there was a certain group of people who were there who were kind of criticizing what had happened. And so he begins to explain to them what happened in chapter 11. In verse 4 it says, Peter began to explain to the people what happened in Joppa while he was praying. I will skip down to verse 15. And Peter is telling this to the people. And he says, as I spoke, the Holy Spirit fell on them as it did on us at the beginning. And I remembered the work of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he says, if then God gave the same gift to them as he gave to us, who was I that I could stand in God's way? So he's having this. He's explaining to the people who were curious as what happened. And once he had told them all that had happened, in verse 18 it says, when they heard these things, they fell silent. In other words, the curiosity has been satisfied. And so they didn't say anything more, except what happened out of this all is they began to glorify God. So our curiosity and our conversations end up glorifying God as the purpose of it all. So stay curious. Conversations will happen. Ask God questions. On Wednesday morning, this past Wednesday morning, I woke up, I don't know, 5:30. Sarah had already left to work at the cafe. And it was one of those mornings where, you know, sometimes people say, I just wanted to go back to bed. I didn't even want to do that. It was that bad. I didn't feel it, like we say sometimes. I didn't want to go to work, and I enjoy what I do. I really do. I enjoy that. And I didn't read scriptures that morning. I didn't pray before I left the house. I just got my water jug and I got my stuff and I walked out to the shop to get in my truck and go. But between the house and the shop, those of you know who, what it looks like there, I had a short prayer and I said, "Today, God, I need a hug from you." That's all I said. And in my mind, I wondered, I had this conversation with myself. Do you ever do that? And I just said, "I wonder how he's going to do that. How is he going to hug me?" I'll get into the truck and I go to the job where we were supposed to haul dirt away. And I got there and there was no dirt. I didn't see no dirt. I didn't see no excavator. I didn't see nothing. But I seen a fellow trucker up the road a little bit, up the street. Rodney was already there. So I roll up to him. And I get out of my truck and I go over to his truck on his step and I'm just hanging on to the handle there and talking with him. And so we talked a little bit just about what we should do to find the job and blah, blah, blah. And when I ask him a couple of questions about his truck, and because of the decisions that Sarah and I have made recently, I'm looking for a truck, okay. And I was in the middle of trying to figure something out, and this was weighing on me. There was just this weight on me. What am I going to do? And so I'm talking with Rodney, and something he said in the conversation just, that was my answer. That was my hug from God. And those things are so amazing. They are so uplifting and inspiring that I went back to my truck. Rodney has no idea what he said that blessed me. We didn't talk about God. We didn't discuss scripture. We talked business. And God hugged me through it. And it seemed like I was in that cloud for about an hour. It was so good. It was so amazing. It was almost romantic with God in that moment. It was just so amazing. And I want that for you. Ask God questions. Ask him for a hug. I read stories. I love stories. And you may pick up that I tell stories when I preach. I preach different than Austin or Kristen or Brendan or any of you who preach. You preach different than I do because you preach out of your gifting, and that's what we should do. And I tell stories because it has the potential to put truth within reach for me. And I grab that. I want to hear more. I want to hear stories. So remember what Oswald Chambers said. Go to God and say, "Speak, Lord, and life will become romance." So the first thing was in hearing God is our conversations that we have with God and with people. Second one is with detours. Do you enjoy detours when you're traveling to weddings or when you're going to work? And there's a detour that you weren't aware of. And when you drive a truck, it's even more aggravating because you're not sure if this road that you know can get past the detour quicker than if you go the route that the DOT has designated. It takes you way too long to go that way, so you think you can take a little shortcut, and sometimes it works. How many of you enjoy that? Like, you jump up and down when you have the chance. You get so giddy in your car that you just... you're so happy for the detours. I don't think there's any of us. And in fact, you'd look strange if you'd raised your hand. But maybe we should begin to enjoy those detours because of what happens in the detours. I have a couple examples in Scripture that I want to share with you. And why is it that we don't enjoy those detours? Does anybody want to share? Why don't you like them? It takes longer, the time required, and you potentially be late. Abe. Yeah, it didn't fit in our agenda. We didn't plan for this. It costs more. That's something that kind of rubs our culture the wrong way. Or maybe the fear of getting lost. What if this detour takes me where I don't know where I'm at? And the inconvenience. Are you kidding? I don't want to go this detour. But there's three things that we can learn. One of them is detours provide clarity. Another one is detours equip us. They have the potential to do those things. And they create community. Okay, and I want to share with you a couple scriptures of what happened. And in Acts 16, I want to go there first in verse 5. It says, so the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they increased in numbers daily, and they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. That sounds like a detour to me. Paul and whoever was with him, they were going through these regions, and their purpose is to preach the gospel, to encourage the people. And God, the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit forbade them to speak at this one place. And I don't know if they sat down and were disgruntled. I don't know. It doesn't say anything about that. I would have. In verse 7 it says, and when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. It seems like that's another detour. Two of them in a row. How would you like that? So it says, by passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas. One thing they didn't do is stop. They kept moving. And so they came to another town. They were on the way to Troas, and they spent the night at some place. And it says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing there, urging him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So in these detours that was happening to this evangelistic group, is they had a vision and it became clear what God had in mind, and they just followed right along with it. And what happens? A lady became a believer in Jesus and her household. Lydia, the seller of purple, she became a believer. So when we think about detours and the time required, and the it's going to take longer, and potentially we're going to be late, it's going to cost more, and maybe I'll get lost in all of these, and it's just an inconvenience. Think about it in your Christian life and keep moving, and clarity will come. The vision will become clear as to what and where and why. And keep in a conversation with God through this. Okay, another example is Luke 24, verse 29. Jesus talking here to the disciples and telling them he's going to leave, but this is what I'm going to do for you. And he says, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. And he says, but remain in the city. Stop and stay here until you have been clothed with power from on high. So sometimes the detours is not actually going another way, but is stopping. It's just staying. And when everything else tells us keep going, God is saying stop, and it doesn't make sense. It's frustrating. And then in the process of stopping and staying and listening and having this conversation with God, he equips us, because it says that they were supposed to stay until they were endued with power from on high. Trust the detours. I want to read a story to you about a young man who survived the Holocaust. He survived because of a detour, and in the process, he became equipped. And the story goes like this. In Crown Heights, there was a Jew. His name was Yenkel. He owned a bakery, and he survived the concentration camps. He once said to me, you know why it is that I'm alive today? I was a kid, just a teenager at the time. We were on the train in a boxcar being taken to Auschwitz. Night came and it was freezing, deathly cold in that boxcar. The Germans would leave the cars on the side of the tracks overnight and sometimes for days on end without any food, and of course, no blankets to keep us warm, he said. Sitting next to me was an older Jew. This beloved elderly Jew from my hometown, I recognized him, but I had never seen him like this. He was shivering from head to toe and looked terrible. So I wrapped my arms around him, and I began rubbing him to warm him up. I rubbed his arms, his legs, his face, his neck. I begged him to hang on. All night long, I kept the man warm this way. I was tired. I was freezing cold myself. My fingers were numb, but I didn't stop rubbing the heat onto this man's body. Hours and hours went by this way, and finally night passed. And morning came, and the sun began to shine, and there was some warmth in the cabin. And then I looked around the car to see some of the other Jews in the car. To my horror, all I could see were frozen bodies, and all I could hear was a deathly silence. Nobody else in that cabin made it through the night. They all died from the frost. Only two people survived. That was the old man and me. The old man survived because somebody kept him warm. I survived because I was warming somebody else. Detours can equip us to warm others. And let me tell you the secret in following detours. When you warm other people's hearts, you remain warm yourself. When you seek to support and encourage and inspire others, then you discover support, encouragement, and inspiration in your life. Trust the detours. Another example in Scripture is Philippians 1, verse 19. Paul was writing to the Philippians here, and he says, "Because I know that through your prayers and provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, my distress will turn out for my deliverance." Distresses are sufferings that we go through. Hard times. Kids get sick. Dad gets sick. Relatives die. And the distress seems so overwhelming at times. Oswald Chambers says this, "Suffering burns up a lot of shallowness." So there's a reason for the detours that God brings us to and through. Paul was saying, "Because I know that through your prayers and provisions of Christ, that my distress, my sufferings are going to turn out for my deliverance." And in this I see that detours create and cause and makes community happen, because we band together and we pray for each other and we lift each other up. We give money, we give food, and that's community. And my suffering is going to turn into my deliverance. At times, you know, hearing God, conversations and detours, following God in life sometimes just becomes really hard. And it seems more like we're following a scent than simply going by directions. And it would be so nice if we would have directions for everything that we encounter in life. We wouldn't have to have a conversation, really. We just get the book out and say, "Okay, for this reason, for what is happening to you right now, you turn this way, or you go further up the road and you turn that way." Wouldn't it be just really nice and easy? But it would take away from the conversational relationship that God wants with us and needs with us. So a lot of times in your life, it may be simply feeling like you're following a scent, and that's good, rather than having a list of directions. One more thing that I want to share with you is hearing God in the silences, in the quietness, and when he doesn't speak, and the frustration that comes out of that in our lives. I had to think of Joseph. In the book of Genesis, from chapter 37 to 50, we read about Joseph and the things that he endured. And a lot of times it just seemed like God wasn't even speaking to him. He was just silent. And when he was sold by his brothers, I mean, his brothers took him and sold him. But I think, too, he was kind of a little bit of a brat at that age. But they did that to him. And he was in the pit. I don't know if it was overnight or 2 days or whatever. And then they took him out and sold him to people that were passing by. He endured long periods of silence, longer than I have ever. Not only did he experience the betrayal of his brothers, it seemed as if God had forgotten him. Though he was faithful to God, yet for his steadfast trust in God, he was thrown into a prison on false charges against him. Now on the surface, that may seem as if God had forgotten him, but he didn't. God had a plan. He doesn't bring more to your life than you can handle. That's a promise in Scripture. God might have been silent over the years of Joseph's ordeal, but God was in control. Joseph was set free and became father to the Pharaoh to save not only Egypt, but also his own family. Another promise. Hebrews 13:5 says, and you're all familiar with it, says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Take that to heart. Embrace that as God embraces you in the conversation. Hold on to that. But sometimes it seems like God is so far away. Have you cried out to God only to hear calm stillness? Has he not yet moved to meet your need? Wait for him. Just wait. And when it does come, it's unlike anything else ever. The book of Psalms has a lot of the writings of David and others who wrote. And sometimes their heart cry was so much like mine. To you I call, O Lord. Do not turn a deaf ear to me. Hear my cry for mercy as I call to you for help, as I lift my hands toward your most holy place. Hear me. Psalm 21, God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you don't answer, and by night, but I find no rest. We get weary, don't we? And then he says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. Trust the process. In Psalm 13, it says, how long, Adonai, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I have cares in my soul and daily sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look at me and answer, Adonai, my God. Light up my eyes, or I will sleep in death. Dr. Dobson said this about times when he feels God is silent. And he does like most of the writers or the writers in Psalm. Down on my knee and say, this is Dr. Dobson saying it. I say, Lord, I need to know what you want me to do, and I am listening. Please speak to me through my friends, through the books and magazines that I pick up and read, and through circumstances. That's so practical and so right. On a night of silence, the Creator God spoke volumes when he sent himself in vivid fashion and color, and we sing about it every Christmas. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Jesus came in silence, and he still does. What amazing. What an amazing Father, Savior, and Holy Spirit that we have. Keep asking God questions. Keep the conversation going. And always, always allow your curiosity to ask, to be in conversation with Christ. God bless you.
Thank you, Laverne, for sharing that. I had to think that, you know, often I find myself that I have a detour that's given to me in my own life that